Hey everyone, it's Mike Wobshaw, voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen. This is a Between the Lines off-season preview edition brought to you by Gatorade. We're here to talk about the Vikings off-season, which is going to be very eventful. First, Paul, thanks for joining us.
Well, you don't mess around, do you? I mean, we just played the Bears like within the last 96 hours, and here we are
Right. Reconstructing
the 2017 dream.
I think we have to construct a brand new dream, because in 2015 made the playoffs, lost in heartbreaking fashion.
Yeah.
So it was reconstructing that dream. This is a whole new dream, right?
Yeah.
We're constructing a brand new dream.
This is from misery to Minneapolis, given the next Super Bowl is in Minneapolis.
Right. Off season. I'm wearing jeans right now. You're wearing a hooded sweatshirt.
Yeah,
so
I got new jeans too. They're not even the standard blue. So
right.
I'm
Looks
reconstructing
good.
My pants dream.
Right. So off season, what are you going to do? I mean, for people who want to know a day in the life of the Vox in the off season, you come to Winter Park, you chill out in the VEN for a little bit.
Yep.
You're still around even though we're not playing games.
Yeah. I mean, Vikings football is a 24/7 thing for me, you know, and it may not be from my 9 to noon radio show on the home for the Vikings, the fan. We may not have as many Vikings talkers daily as we do during the season, but you still think about free agents and the combine and free agents, potential free agents for other teams and, you know, offensive linemen and potential draft picks, and you just kind of slow roll it a little bit.
We're going to get into all of that plus our upcoming opponents
That's
in 2017. Let's start, though, with Coach Zimmer's end-of-season press conference.
Yep.
It happened on Tuesday at 11 o'clock a.m. during your show.
Mm-hmm.
So you weren't here for it, but I know that you listened to it and
Correct.
You probably listened back to it. Did you have any reactions from that?
Well, I thought when Mike said, basically proclaimed Sam Bradford is the quarterback for the Vikings in 2017, I thought that was big, you know. And when you look back at Sam and the completion percentage at 71.6, some things that happened or did not happen with the offensive line, the running game that was anemic for a fair amount of the season came on a little bit late. When you put all that together and you look at the season Bradford had, honestly, he had nothing short of a fantastic season.
Right.
His deep field accuracy was really good. I went back and watched a fair amount of his passes from 20 to 30 yards, and his accuracy in the intermediate game, It's as good as I've seen in my 15 years of calling Vikings football. So I thought that was most prevalent.
Yeah, you know, I can remember a few. He had two for big gains to Thielen, long throws down the sideline.
Yes.
And I can remember one he put right on the money to Charles Johnson that they weren't able to close on.
Yep.
So
he had a really good one on the Vikings sidelines in the Dallas game to Thielen that I think is highly underrated, where you had the corner, then the safety, and Thielen broke it off, and Sam just dropped it right in there so beautifully.
That's right.
And he did that all season.
He had one to Diggs down the middle of the field where Diggs made a nice diving catch.
And this is no disrespect to Teddy Bridgewater, by the way, but it permits Bridgewater more time to recover. And I have no idea what the depth chart for quarterbacks will look like into 2017 for the Vikings, but the head coach in that closing press conference basically made it sound like Sam's the man.
Yeah. You know, speaking of the head coach, you get to spend some time with him every week for various things, including the pregame interview for radio, Vikings game plan, where we both spend some time with him. We know how competitive he is. He put on a good face for that end-of-season press conference. He was optimistic and constructive, but we know how frustrated and disappointed he was. But that he's able to speak about the season so constructively, which he did during his press conference, tells me he understands what needs to be done to fix it.
Yeah, you know, and there really during the course of the run, there only was so much you could do with certain things while they were happening. You know, we with the VEN, Ryan Semenko, whomever, put together a really good Beyond the Gridiron where they sat down with you, they sat down with me, and it was up to the Bears game. And like I said there, is not only were there injuries in mass to this team, but there were injuries during the season and then during games.
Yes.
So it made it really difficult week in and week out to figure out exactly how you're going to construct things, and that's really, really tough.
Yeah. Looking at this defense, I think that the performance at home against the Colts and then the first half at Green Bay, six quarters worth of uncharacteristic play by the defense, I think has cast a little bit of a negative light on the entire season. If you look at the other parts of the season, this defense was fantastic. It finished number three in total defense, number five in scoring defense. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, those six quarters that I referenced against the Colts and the first half against the Packers, 20% of the points that we allowed happened in just those six quarters.
Wow.
10 points per quarter in those six quarters. Outside of that, it was 4 points per quarter. So because those games happened recently, I think that it kind of causes people to have a negative outlook on a defense that was really good.
Yeah, that's wrong. I mean, that would be inaccurate. And, you know, you can look at the season and paint it with a broad brush, and you either know this is a well-orchestrated, schematically sound defense with a bunch of studs, or you look at it a different way. I mean, with Danielle Hunter, Linval Joseph, Everson Griffin, Anthony Barr, Eric Kendrick, Xavier Rhodes, Harrison Smith, that's more than half the defense. Every single team in the NFL would take those players and play them a ton during games. And I probably left somebody out. So overall, this is a defensive-minded team that, like you said, over that small patch, some things statistically went pear-shaped. This is a very good defense, and that's the only way to look at it.
Yeah, so to recap it, we love Mike Zimmer, did a great job at the press conference. We know he can fix the problems. We love the Sam Bradford trade, even in hindsight. He played great. He's going to be our starter next year. The trade was well worth it. So lots to build upon for the Vikings heading into the offseason. So let's talk about the offseason. Here are the free agents we have.
Holy cow.
These are the free agents that we have coming up.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rick.
CJ and Adam restricted.
Yep. Rick always likes to bring back as many of the guys as he can because he knows those guys. The coaches know those guys. Is there anyone on here that you really feel like, hey, let's really make sure we bring that guy back?
Yeah, there are several. Okay. You know, I would begin, as nondescript as it may be, I really hope they can get squared away with punter Jeff Locke. I was very impressed with Jeff. I know he's a punter, but he in 2015, he didn't have a great season, by admission. He faced a lot of scrutiny coming into the season. He tied a Vikings record for punts inside the 20. I believe that final number was 34. Definitely would like to see him back. Curious to see what they're going to do with Matt Khalil. Captain Munnerlyn had zero interceptions this year. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with him. Cordarrelle Patterson's going to be a big offseason talker. You know, what are they going to do with Cordarrelle? And does the way he works and does his productivity add up to the perceived money from a guaranteed contract that he may receive? I can't answer that question. But there are some pretty good players on here and definitely big decisions to be made.
Yeah, big decisions will also be made in the draft for the Vikings. They don't have a first-round pick, but they do have 8 picks total right now.
Yep.
And we all know that Rick Spielman likes to move up and he likes to move back, and he'll also just stay put and take a player if he doesn't feel like there's a good deal there. When you look at the draft, and, you know, this opinion is subject to change for both of us, but because we're still a few months out, we haven't even gone to the combine yet. When you look at the draft, where are the Vikings going to focus on?
Well, my off-season approach, and, you know, I've actually discussed this in private with head coach Mike Zimmer, where, you know, I don't expect him up to the Bears game when we sat down and chatted to give me the off-season answer. But, you know, the way I look at it is with through the draft, the way they fed this team with Trey Waynes, Eric Kendricks, Danielle Hunter, Anthony Barr, you Mackenzie Alexander, you've had some defensive players taken very early in the draft.
Yep.
And for the most part, it's working out. You know, Mackenzie Alexander ended on injured reserve, and it was going to be tough for him to crack that lineup in the first place. So even though it was kind of a nondescript debut for him, I'm certainly not going to write him off. Likewise for Laquon Treadwell. The way I'd like them to do it this year, again, with a right to change this opinion, I'd like them to go offense, specifically offensive line, en masse early, and then have elite coaching minds like Mike Zimmer, Andre Patterson, his assistant Robert Rodriguez, Jerry Gray, the entire defensive staff, focus on players they can get deeper in the draft who fit exactly what they want to be done with the Vikings defense. So I don't want to call them projects, you know, because some people looked at Danielle Hunter as a project, but he went in the third round and now he's a stud. So I'd like to see them go heavy offense early and then let Zimmer et al. Find some defensive guys with whom they can work later.
Yeah, I mean, looking at what Andre Patterson and Robert Rodriguez have done with Danielle Hunter, with Shamar Stephen, for that matter. I mean, you want to give those coaches something they can mold because they've proven that they can do it. So
and when
cool.
Linval Joseph got here, he was a Super Bowl winner and he was really good. But, you know, after the Green Bay Packers game, you have the Packers offensive line coach telling Linval Joseph, you are the best defensive tackle in the NFL. Yeah. And he didn't say no's. He said defensive defensive tackle, mm-hmm. because Linval just does so much under the radar that so few appreciate. Linval's really good, and he's coached very well.
We're going to go to the Senior Bowl. We'll have that covered. We're going to be at the Combine. You're going to do your show from the Combine in a couple days.
Yes, sir.
Lots of cool interviews that you'll have lined up, so make sure you guys check that out. Okay, let's look at our upcoming opponents. 2017 opponents for the Vikings. As you assess that, let me tell you something first.
Yeah.
Vikings have what you would call the fifth easiest schedule
all right.
next season.
Mm-hmm.
And how you tabulate that is you look at the win-loss records of all the teams that we play. So
yep.
the teams on that screen last year combined to be 115, 139, and 2.
Yep.
A sub-500 record for all the teams on that schedule. It's a third-place schedule, meaning we finish in third place in the NFC North. So we play the third-place finisher in the NFC East and in the NFC West. Teams that had a third-place schedule this year, Detroit, Oakland, and the Giants.
All in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The way I look at this thing now, obviously, we won't know until like April where they fall. The London game looks like it'll be really cool. Pittsburgh will be tough to beat on the road. Atlanta with that glitzy offense and maybe the MVP and Matt Ryan, that'll be tough. You know, but really, they all look tough when you come into the season. It's like when I put the Vikings on an 11-5 record into 2016. Honestly, I had the at Carolina game as a loss. Then you get up to it and
yeah.
you start to diagnose it a little bit and you're like, you know what? I think they're going to do some damage against Cam Newton. So, you know, I look at all these games. They all look winnable, but they all look tough.
Yeah. I think playing at Pittsburgh is super cool.
Yeah.
You only do it once every 8 games. The
yeah.
last time the Vikings did that was 09 with Brett Favre.
Yeah, first loss of the 09 season.
Great game.
Team was 6-0. Favre put it on the ground a couple of times. I think Lamar Woodley may have had a scoop and score in that game. Adrian Peterson trucked William Gay in the middle of the field with one of the great athletic, powerful endeavors you'll ever see.
For the home games, a couple of cool quarterbacks coming to town. Jameis Winston with the Bucs and Drew Brees with the Saints.
Yep.
Be fun to watch those guys play.
Yep, Zimmer versus his former team Cincinnati in the regular season. When we had a chance to go to Cincinnati for 3 days for the joint practice, that was really cool. And, with Los Angeles, be very curious to see what Jared Goff looks like in his second season. They're going to have a new coaching staff. So, yeah, I think it all shakes out pretty cool.
Thanks a lot for your time, Paul.
Yeah, no problem.
Skol Vikings, that's the Between the Lines offseason preview edition of Between the Lines, brought to you by Gatorade. Thanks for watching.